to the Software Process and Measurement Cast 110. We're recording this on Thanksgiving in the United States while in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida.
My name is Tom Cagley, and together we will explore the varied worlds of software process improvement and measurement on the Spamcast. The cast will cover topics that deal with the challenges of how work is done in information technology organizations as they grow and evolve. The show will combine commentaries, interviews, your feedback to serve up ideas, options, opinions, advice, and even occasional facts. In a nutshell, the cast provides advice for and from practitioners, methodologists, pundits, and consultants.
The Software Process and Measurement Cast this week features an interview with Scott Price of Lodestorm.com. Our discussion focused on load testing, but covered ground that included the whole testing lifecycle.
Comments and feedback are welcome. There are a number of ways to share your thoughts. Email Spamcast at spamcastinfo@gmail.com. Voice messages can be left at 1-206-888-6111. It's my intent to share all emails and voice messages. Some disclaimers. During interviews, the views expressed by my interviewees are theirs and theirs alone, no matter how wonderful they are. The views and opinions expressed by me are mine and do not represent those of my employers or other third parties. However, if you'd like to borrow my views and opinions, I am always happy to share with a little attribution.
Scott Price is the Omega Geek at Lodestorm.com. As a 25-year veteran in the software industry, he is currently enjoying the pursuit of his passion for web application performance engineering. He is a frequent public speaker because of his unusual blend of technical knowledge and presentation skills. His focus is on developing cloud products such as Lodestorm, promoting faster web page speeds, and improving overall web application performance under heavy traffic. He works with customers by supporting them through coaching in use of performance testing tools and techniques. From a family with several generations of entrepreneurs, Scott founded and managed Advantage Medical Systems, Inc., which was acquired by Axiom Corporation in 1995. He co-founded CustomerCentrix LLC in 1997, the parent company of Lodestorm.com, and is actively growing new products and services. He is the current chair of Summit County Young Life, current chairman of the board for Dillon Community Church, a charter member of the Colorado Business Association Council, former chairman of the Colorado Internet Kiryatsu, and former leader in the Colorado Software Internet Association. Ready to load test your mind? It's time for the interview. All right, Scott Price, welcome to the Software Process and Measurement Cast.
Thank you, Tom.
Scott, let's wind all the way back to the beginning part of our conversation that we had when we were talking about doing the interview. What is load testing?
Well, in its simplest form, you're just putting many simulated users against a piece of software. So what happens if we put 500 people all using this piece of software at the same time? Does it get slow? Does it start to generate errors? Does it just crash? And specifically, I'm focused on web applications, and there's so many variables in how you get performance out of your system. So load testing has to do with applying a lot of traffic to a web application and seeing what happens. I'm looking for metrics such as average response time for every request that's coming into the system. I'm looking for things like, what is the throughput in kilobytes per second? Or how many requests per second can our system actually handle? And there are different flavors and different ways that people define load testing, but I can definitely say that there are nuances between load testing and stress testing and performance testing, and a few other things like endurance testing and a few names like that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of those kinds of concepts get conflated, and maybe we'll come back and peel the onion a little bit on those. But
sure.
While I suspect that for those of us who've been in the trenches or have run a QA department or run a project, that it's pretty evident why one would load test. If you were to make that argument to somebody, why would you tell them it was important?
Well, specifically, there's the great unknown, and software and QA is something that you can't test everything all the time, but you better know a few things before you put real live paying customers in front of your software. And I think it's very important that you load test, especially with today's type of web applications or even your websites for marketing purposes, because anytime your system is slow, generates an error, doesn't respond, you are going to lose money. So the bottom line is the bottom line. If you don't load test, you're putting yourself at risk to lose money. People will walk away or they'll click away, and it's so easy to leave your storefront, if you had an e-commerce system, let's say. If they wait 10 seconds before a page replies to them, they're trying to put a t-shirt in their shopping cart. After 10 seconds, they're going to go somewhere else and buy that t-shirt. And I've got some statistics. There's a blog on our site where I've put together different studies from Google and Bing and Yahoo and ShopZilla and Aberdeen and a bunch of other data points that prove a slow website can cost you 10% of your revenue or worse if your site's crashing or dying and producing errors. That's why. It's money.
So if it's that black and white, why doesn't it always happen?
Well, there's many reasons. One would be not knowing. I didn't really understand that 10% of your revenue could be lost with a slow site. If your site's responding, say, taking more than 5 to 10 seconds, you're losing money. I didn't know that until I did a lot of research. There are many people out there that don't get it. And there's a huge disconnect between the marketing department and the technology guys. And I'm more on the technology guys' side, but I do a lot of online marketing. But rarely do you have those two meeting face-to-face before you release software. And the marketing guys might have this great campaign. They're going to do a Super Bowl ad, and they don't talk to the IT guys. They just assume that, sure, we might get 10,000 people all signing onto our website at the same time. So what? You know, the marketing folks don't think about all of the engineering that goes behind the scenes to respond to those 10,000 people quickly. And that's an extreme case. But let's say that Slashdot, you get some really nice article written up about your company or your website, your application. You can get inundated with traffic in a hurry, huge traffic on the web. And most of us have heard of the Slashdot effect. But there are a lot of people that just say, well, let's get it out there. It won't get a lot of traffic until we start, you know, until next month when we do our official launch. And they've been surprised that they get a lot more traffic than they anticipated. So answer to your question, not knowing. So ignorance. And the second big reason is we don't have time to do it, or we don't have money to do it. So it's very common that the budget for load testing gets cut before the project's over because we overran on functional testing, or we overran on coding, and we're up against the deadline. The boss says we've got to get the site released on Monday. We don't have time to load test it. That happens all the time.
One could argue that neither one of those is really a good excuse. You know, not knowing has its own sort of downfall, but knowing and then saying, well, I'm out of time and I'll take the risk. Do people actually, do you think, really mentally go, I'll take the risk, or is there some sort of rationalization that gets them by that?
I've known people, and I will fess up to say I've been in that position before. and said, I know the risk. I don't think we're going to get that much traffic. We'll have another week or so to come back and test and tune some. And I just put it off. I willfully decided I'm not going to do it right now.
When we started talking about load testing in our first discussion, you indicated that the business really should insist on load testing. Load testing, I would suggest, do you think, A, they know what load testing is to insist on it, and why should it be the business pushing for this?
I think that the business generally would understand the concept. I mean, a CEO or even the VP of sales or something, they can understand that if they've ever gone to a website that didn't respond to them well, they got an error or it was just really slow, they know how it feels, and they know that that will hurt the company's brand in the long run if their sites are like that. I just don't think that a CEO gives it a lot of thought. They assume the IT department has it covered.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, of course, they will know how well it's going to stand up to a lot of traffic. So, but there's not always that disconnect, but I've seen it. It's common.
Why should it be the business that insists upon it? Why is that not something the CIO should be insisting on?
Okay, I think the CIO should be insisting on it, but there are many times when you're looking at it from the technical perspective, you see the hundreds of items that are still on the task list, the other bugs that haven't been fixed, let's say, and subconsciously you say, well, I've got to get those bugs fixed because people will see those and it will reflect poorly on me as the coder or as me, the project manager. Got to get those bugs fixed. So the functional testing invariably gets a higher priority than non-functional testing, which would include the load testing. It just, bugs are bad. And that's been ingrained in software developers since their very first day of coding. The business doesn't see all of those. They don't see the bug list so much. They don't look under the covers at what's going on. And somebody knows, oh, I've got to go make those changes to the configuration of the web server, or the database has got this and that. I need to reinstall such and such. And the technical guys get bogged down in that. And the business, their heads kind of up and out of that, and they see the forest rather than the trees. The business is concerned about money. Whereas a lot of the technical guys, and there's no fault of their own, because that's, I mean, I'm a tech guy, and I wouldn't think money first, but a CEO or a VP of marketing, they're going to be thinking money. And that's why I would advocate that the business make a big deal out of load testing, because it will affect your money. It will affect the performance of the site, which will have a direct correlation to revenue gained from activity on the site.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I have seen statistics that suggest that a happy customer will tell one person and an unhappy customer will tell 10. And very frankly, with the social media world that we all live in, things have become maybe perhaps a bit more dynamic. Agile projects. So we live in an environment that has many different forms of and many different kinds of methodologies floating around, Agile being one of them. How does load testing integrate into an Agile project?
Well, in general, the response would be test early, test often. Agile is going to have very short iterations, sprints, and I think that Agile brings up the issue and tends to force the issue of what does our performance look like early in the cycle? You know, because they're cycling so frequently, those iterations, then we need to know what's the code look like right now from a performance standpoint. So if we load test it early, we can see where our bottlenecks are. They will be easier to uncover and fix if we load test early. Think of the architecture decisions that are being made. If you find later, let's say, if you think of traditional waterfall and you load test right before the edge of the waterfall and you find developed around an architecture that has some very definite intrinsic bottlenecks that are going to kill your performance, and you've got to go back and re-architect and draw and pull, rip out huge chunks of your the way you've set up your system, your coding, you replace different things like your web server software or your database software or a middleware, or you're going to, instead of storing the data in your database, you're going to put it into a messaging queue to get more performance. You will save a lot of money and effort and hassle if you do that early in the project rather than at the end of the project. And Agile is all about, let's do this early on when we're talking about any kind of testing, any kind of QA, get the QA people involved on the team from the very beginning so that they see everything that's going on. They can actually make a contribution when you're in those meetings and you're discussing and making decisions. And I think you should be definitely load testing every release if possible, or every build. I know people that are load testing every build of their code, not just the release. They want to know, I just coded something new. Did I impact performance? And sometimes they find, oh my goodness, I just put a hugely expensive query into the system, and they can catch it so much easier and fix it so much quicker if they do that as they go rather than waiting to load test at the very end.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, have you seen anyone actually build load testing into a continuous build kind of scenario?
Yes. In fact, one of the reasons we priced our system like we did, you can run unlimited number of tests in a subscription. So we have customers that will run 50, 60 load tests in a month. And the reason is because they are testing every single build. And they are pretty emphatic about, okay, I've got a web application, I want to make sure. And they catch their bottlenecks early when they first introduce them to the code.
The data that you've indicates that bugs have a substantial impact, and the things that load testing finds has a substantial impact on the viability of the site, which then translates into ROI. Does doing it in a continuous state, does that really identify it early enough, or is it possible to do this in a more granular fashion, maybe once at the end of every sprint or something along those lines?
Sure. You know, it really depends on your team, your situation, your application. And there are still people that I've seen working in an agile environment that will save load testing till the end. And they defend that by saying, we could load test smaller pieces of this code or earlier versions of it, but we really won't know its performance at the end until we've got all of these moving parts finished. And that's their defense. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is when they do their load testing and they find that performance is way below what they need it to be, they have to start backtracking and they have to start trying to hunt down and fix a lot of problems. And it's in performance engineering, it is sometimes extremely difficult to know which of those 1,000 knobs you need to turn. You know, you have so many things that can affect performance in all the layers of your architecture, both the hardware, the network, the way you've coded things, the configuration of your database, how you've set up caching. And if you wait till the end, you have to now navigate this enormous maze of possibilities. If you were to start early and you're load testing the code when it's in its infancy, you will spot and find things early on that are easy to fix because you don't have a million possibilities. You only have a dozen or two. So I've seen people wait, and even in Agile, but it's typically accepted more now that load testing should be a part of each cycle. And you can certainly wait till you're about to release. There's nothing wrong with that. It just, again, will make it a little more difficult to find your problems.
So I'd like to circle back to the beginning. If you were designing a palette of tests, where would you put load testing, and what other kind of testing would you put around it?
I would put load testing probably at the immediate next step after a functional test run, a regression test run, let's say, because I can see a lot of need for load testing to be done in the same fashion for regression. What did we do to break something in the software that was working? That might be a bug. We used to this screen work just fine, and now I'm seeing that the input form is not submitting properly. That's a bug fix. I mean, that's something that could come up in regression testing. You uncover that. In the same way, in load testing, you may uncover that a page that had a 2-second response time now is taking 10 seconds. And so I would be looking at whatever you're doing in your normal QA. I would be bug fixing and testing those bugs. That could be a unit or a full cycle. And then I would have my regression suite run so that I'm looking, did we break anything else? You know, all of our bugs that we fixed previously, are they still fixed? And right after that, I would be doing load testing in the same way to see our average response time at 1,000 concurrent users used to be sub-second, and now it's jumped to 5 seconds. We've done something in this particular release or this build that has caused us a major problem that we've got to hit on performance. Now, when you say complementary, I would also be looking at performance analysis on individual pages. So identifying the key pages, if I'm thinking a web application, what's the home page, the login, authentication, any kind of access management, but reporting perhaps. And I would be using tools like YSlow and Firebug. There's many kind of tools that will analyze the resources on a given page and determine, do we have something that's out of whack? Did we just introduce some JavaScript that's going to loop indefinitely on this page? Now, load testing is good for finding out what happens under a lot of traffic. You can also performance test an individual page. This is, if one person's hitting it, what will that one person see? What's the render time and those kind of things? And so I believe that should be done in conjunction with load testing. In fact, I normally would try to do that kind of performance analysis on individual pages before I would apply a lot of load. I've seen people do pretty silly things like include a BMP file on a web page, which is maybe 2 megabytes when it should have been 20K if it was saved as a JPEG. I mean, that's just a really silly example, but there's JavaScript libraries. The coder may have just included an entire library, and he's only using 1% of all of that JavaScript code. And sometimes those libraries can be very large, and you're going to add a lot of overhead into that one page when you do so. And I would encourage people to strip out as much unused code, whether that be style sheets or scripts, and get those out of there before you really run a big load test on it.
Makes sense. Is load testing something that you could do if you were prototyping a sort of an architecture for a new web app?
Almost sure. Because of when you say architecture, so I'm prototyping, I'm trying to see, okay, how do these components work together? You're going to look at, well, I want to make them functional so that this one will do what I need. And then the other part of it is, well, how fast is it going to work together? If it's going to be extremely slow because I've added some level of abstraction that has no streamlining to it, and you know you have certain goals. I have to support 5,000 concurrent users, or I have to support 50 requests per second, then I would rather prototype the big picture and find out, is this going to be a real performance dog or not?
Absolutely. Scott, you wake up tomorrow morning, someone hands you a cup of coffee and a magic wand and tells you that you can solve any two problems in the software testing world. What would those be and why?
Well, I'm going to be biased towards performance. I think that I would fix the problems of cost and complexity. Simpler is better. And my dad was a motorcycle mechanic, and he always told me the better designs will be simpler. He was talking about engines. More moving parts give you more places to break. And he was adamant about that when he built engines and things. So I see that in technology and web applications specifically, simplify, simplify, simplify. Don't over-architect. And how many times statistics prove this out. The software that's built, 80% of the software is used 20% of the time or less. So there's so many features that the marketing department says, oh, we got to have this or we can't sell the software. And it gets cooked into the overall product and it's waste. It's bloat. And a lot of that will hurt your performance. Also, from that cost standpoint, simpler is typically going to be cheaper. And that's a good thing. And that's really the philosophy that we took when we built Lodestorm. You've probably heard of 37 Signals?
Yes, I have.
You heard of those guys? So, you know, we really subscribe to their methodologies, their approach to software. Keep it small. Keep it simple. Strip it down as much as you can. Keep it as inexpensive as possible. And so when it comes to load testing, we wanted to provide a tool that fixed those problems. We lived that problem when we built LearnCentrics and some of our other web applications, and we got swamped by traffic. Our own success caused our failure, where one client one morning had 15,000 people log into their courses, their online courses in our system, and we crashed. And I mean, they kept trying and kept trying, and of course, that didn't help us any, and we couldn't load test 15,000 concurrent users because of the tool sets at the time, and this was about 10 years ago, it would have cost us more to buy Load Runner or a Silk Performer or some tool like that. It would have cost us more than we made in a year. Those tools were only going to work for the really big Fortune 1000 corporations. And that's a problem we set out to fix. How can we help the web developers and the small to medium companies to where load testing becomes so inexpensive that they're going to run it very frequently? Because in the old style model, it's too expensive. And you pay every time you run it because you set up all the hardware, or you have to already buy the servers to generate the load, and they're just sitting idle when you're not running load tests. Most CTOs aren't going to give you that, you know, that free hardware. So you spend the weekend trying to cobble together unused hardware that you can shut down over the weekend and to generate your load. Those are the kind of problems that in my world I want to fix. And that's why we built it all in the cloud and take all of that hassle factor away from guys like us that are, you know, web app developers.
Super. Scott, how would people get in touch with you, find out about your product, continue the conversation?
Anybody's welcome to call me anytime. My cell number is 970-389-1899, and they can email me at scott@lodestorm.com, and they can look at our website, lodestorm.com. And you can get a free account. I run up to 25 concurrent users and run as many tests as you want. It's not a one-time trial. It's try it forever. If that's all you need, then use our tool for free forever. And then we make money off of the people that ratchet up the volume. So they like it, they try it, it works for their system, and then they run tests of 1,000 concurrent users or 50,000 concurrent users. So our website has a lot of information, but I want everybody to feel comfortable. They can call me or email me anytime.
Super. All that contact information will be in the show notes. Scott, we open up the platform at the end of all interviews to allow you to promote anything that you'd like. Is there anything that you'd like to promote in addition?
Well, I guess I would, and I would assume that most of your audience will be project managers, people that are working in with software. Is that correct?
That's a good thumbnail, yes.
Okay. So here's what I would ask. If anybody's interested, we would love to work with folks out there that want to learn about performance and write blogs about that and promote learning around load testing. Specifically, I'm looking for companies or individuals that have some kind of software. Let's pick something like a Joomla, an open source content management system. And I will volunteer and put up the use of my tool to let somebody who wants to build, write a case study, let's say, and we'll jointly sponsor this, saying, I'm going to install Joomla in an Amazon small instance, and I'm going to hammer on it right out of the box and see where it breaks. So we can say, oh, it'll hold, it'll process up to 50 concurrent users right out of the box. If we turn on caching, it'll handle 500 users. If we tweak this setting, then it'll now handle 10% more. If we split the database off from the main application, now it can process 8,000 concurrent users. Something like that, because that's very interesting to me as a performance guy. It's interesting to me as a web application guy. It's also interesting to the rest of the world, especially people that use Joomla. So there are people that are taking Joomla and installing it for their corporate application, and it may be a small corporation, but they want to know, how is this going to perform? So I would want to see that and certainly cooperate with and assist, offer my tool for free to do that kind of testing. In return for, I want to be a part of that case study. I want to blog about it. I want to be able to share that kind of information with people that are out there. So I'm looking for collaboration. I don't have time to go do a lot of those studies myself, so I'm trying to find others, and it could be useful for them if they do custom app dev or they're Joomla consultants or Drupal, or there's just 100 packages out there. I just want to work with folks on the performance end of it. Let's hammer on it, see what it'll do. Let's see how we can tune it and tweak it and make it perform better, because we all learn from that process and we'll share with everybody through our blogging.
I think that would be a wonderful just set of experiments to run. It'd be interesting to see that. As that develops, Scott, I would be happy to have people come back and actually talk about that on the Software Process and Measurement Cast.
Fantastic.
Super. Thank you for participating, Scott.
I appreciate the opportunity. I love talking about this stuff. So if you want me to come back and talk about it again in a different way, I'm always open to it.
Super. You can tell that you are passionate about this.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm looking for the associations that the Software Process and Measurement Cast listeners belong to. I'd like to reach out and provide a platform to share 3 to 5 minutes worth of association news on a periodic basis. I've been thinking about adding this segment to the cast during the essay weeks. So if you know of an association or belong to one that you want to hear news from, please let me know and we'll pursue that. The next Software Process and Measurement Cast, Spamcast 111, will complete my essay on the 7 deadly sins of measurement programs. We will seal the deal with the sin of greed. I will also have some new conference news.
The Spamcast blog and show notes can be found at www.spamcast.net. Contact Spamcast at spamcastinfo@gmail.com. Voice messages can be left at 1-206-888-6111. I also Twitter, and my Twitter ID is tcagley, so please track me down. It's my intent to share all voice messages, emails, Twitters. Your comments, questions, rants are appreciated and will help to facilitate a dialogue and build community. Let me know the topics that you would like to have covered and the people you'd like to get interviewed. Get involved. The music on Spamcast is made available by the PodSafe Music Network at www.podshow.com. The featured song is by 2012 and is titled Last Battle.
Information on the band can be found at www.myspace.com/2012vision.com. 2012 does an incredible job with experimental electronica. Be sure to support 2012 and all PodSafe artists. Spamcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. If process improvement is a never-ending journey, why do so many people ask, when will we arrive?
See you next week. Thank you.